At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
It is a Friday, and I am still not over the Miami Heat loss last night. Ja Morant called Khalil Ware a pigeon. He got the lucky bounce. And the Heat, their six-game winning streak comes to an end. Tough. Tough loss last night. We're going to get into it today. Welcome into a Friday edition of the Hawkman and Crowder Show. It's Solana. Hawk and Crowder are off today. Hawk might join us a little bit later, but listen, man, these guys checked out. I don't know what else to tell you on a Friday. They started their weekend a little early. So it's Solana. I'll take you up until 6 p.m. today. Have a good show planned for everybody. We're going to talk about the Ja Morant game winner. We're going to talk about the Heat last night. And, man, just tough. Tough, you know, to play that well if you're Miami. To have Tyler Hero tie the game late and Bam and Tyler play the way that they did, just for Ja Morant to just crush your soul last night, man. Rip your heart out with that lucky-ass bounce. And then, you know, take some shots at the fans on the way out. Hurt his pocketbook after, because dude can't stop making gun gestures in games. That doesn't make any sense to me. The NBA is like, hey, Ja, just don't make gun gestures. Like, that's it. Just pretty simple. We want you out there. National TV game. We're not going to suspend you. Just, you know, don't do gun gestures. Nah, I'm going to do gun gestures. That's Ja Morant's game plan. So he gets fined $75,000 today by the league. That is the latest. He did in the first quarter as well after knocking in a three-pointer. We're going to get to all that today. Omar Kelly is going to join us as well, because yesterday had this conversation with Hawk about Calais Campbell choosing choosing to go back to Phoenix, choosing the Arizona Cardinals over the Miami Dolphins and maybe some of the other teams. And I don't know, I thought Hawk laid it out pretty well yesterday with that Chris Perkins article. And I think it summed up my takeaway as well. Perk did for the Sun Sentinel, which was, yeah, maybe there's a little something deeper at play here with Calais Campbell and what he is viewing happening here in South Florida with the Miami Dolphins, and he just wanted no part of it. It's kind of my takeaway from him leaving. And I know it's easy to say, no, Solana, Calais Campbell, he wanted the money. You know, they're giving him $7 million. But if you're the Miami Dolphins, with the way your defensive line is kind of in shambles right now outside of Zach Sealer. And Calais Campbell was that good for you last year. Forget about his age for a second. He was that good for you last year. And you don't really have any other options at defensive line. You didn't go out and land somebody else in free agency. I mean, man, maybe he would have been worth the $6 million or the $5.5 or $7 million that he got with the Arizona Cardinals. So is it just a matter of the Dolphins never actually being in play with Calais, never actually having a legitimate opportunity unless they really overpaid and made him an offer that he just could not say no to, which, you know, Chris Greer wasn't going to do to a 38-year-old. I don't know, man. I think it's worth exploring because, listen, you guys all know, and I think my track record on this show specifically, it kind of speaks for itself when it comes to the Miami Dolphins. But, you know, I have some major question marks about this roster. I have some major question marks about how this team, how this roster is going to look come training camp, come September, come preseason, come week one. We're pretty much in a boat right now where you're trusting Chris Greer to hit on draft picks. I know the Dolphins have a lot of them. They've got a lot of them, but you're basically trusting a make or break season on Chris Greer hitting a ton of draft picks. And I don't know. I don't know if that's the best way to navigate things moving forward. So we're going to get into that. Omar Kelly will join us in this upcoming hour. We've got the NCAA tournament tomorrow. Crowder's scared, and he didn't want to jump on the show today because he knows I'm going to give him hell the second the Florida Gators lose. I know there's a lot of UF fans down here in South Florida. A lot of you made the trip up to Gainesville, spent your 4 years of college there, and now you're back down in Miami, and you all rep your Gators. That's cool. But I'm rooting so hard against UF in this tournament, man. I am just the biggest Florida Gators hater right now. And I am going to dance on your graves when UF loses. Because here's what happens. I put together this March Madness bracket for our radio station, and everybody just picked UF or Duke. All of them. Every single one of them. 20 people. I'm the only one that had a little bit of guts. I'm the only person who's not a coward. And then just pick the favorites, the two favorites to win the tournament. So I'm you know, plotting, I'm praying on your downfall, essentially. I'm sorry, Florida Gators fans, but I can't celebrate the Florida Gators winning a national title. I cannot. But they are good. They really are. You guys are legit. Duke is legit. We'll get into the odds of that game coming up. Lee Sterling is gonna join us. We'll talk about that. There's a lot going on. Steven is in today. Steven Gonzalez, who has been doing an excellent job on the Miami Heat broadcast. He's going to be doing our headlines today. Jimmy is back in the studio as well. So we've got a lot to talk about. We will talk about the NBA a little bit later on. There was a really, really good game after the Heat game last night. The other nationally televised game was the Lakers and the Warriors. And man, I don't know if I'm just reading this entire matchup wrong here. I thought the Lakers were going to cruise past the Warriors yesterday. I really did. And maybe it's, you know, my pettiness against Jimmy Butler. And that's very fair. That's a very fair accusation. He didn't have a great game last night, but the Warriors look good. They went into a legitimately important game for them with under a week to go in the regular season, or about a week and a half to go in the regular season, against a team in the Lakers that maybe I'm buying too high on right now. I'm overhyping what realistic expectations should be from a LeBron and Luka team that has less than 3 months of on-the-court experience together. I don't know. But Rohan Nadkarni, who covers the NBA, he's going to join us later. You've heard him a couple times on our show. Whenever Hawk is off, I hit the Rohan button. I just love talking hoops with him. He's a South Florida native as well, so he's always keeping an eye on the Miami Heat. And I know some of you are going to crush me for this, but just going back to the Heat game before we get to headlines here really quickly. We've been asking guests over the past couple games, right? That six-game win streak that ended last night. Hawk has been asking everybody, whether it's Will Manso, you know, a couple different people that have been on with us about the Miami Heat. And he's been saying, hey, Sedano as well, is there a little late season magic that could be brewing with the Heat? And I know Right now, you're in your car. You're saying, Solana, shut the hell up. They just lost last night. They blew another lead in the fourth quarter. And okay, they won six straight, but they're not beating the Celtics in the first round. They're not beating the Cavs in the first round, even if they get there. And I'm with you. I'm with you, okay? I'm 100% with you. It would be ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous, to claim, especially after last night, that this team is going to go and beat one of those teams in the first round. They're not. It's not going to happen. I will say this, though. During that 10-game win streak, this notion that we used to always feel like was a narrative around this Heat team, a stigma around this Heat team outside of Miami, which was, yeah, I don't want to play the Heat in the first round. I do not want to play the Heat in the first round. You felt like even the Bucks, the Celtics over the years have felt that way about the Heat. And we all kind of thought that left when Jimmy Butler left. It was because of playoff Jimmy. It was because of the edge Jimmy Butler brought to this Heat team. And that might be so. That still might hold true or ring true. But you saw a team last night that looked good. They went toe-to-toe with Memphis. That was a game that the Memphis Grizzlies had to win. They were in desperation mode. They had lost four straight. They had lost seven of their last eight games. And the Memphis Grizzlies had dropped from the two seed or battling for the two seed all the way down to the eight seed in a matter of 2.5 weeks based on an eight-game stretch. From the two all the way down to the eight seed, tied are the teams in the Western Conference entering yesterday, 6, 7, and 8. The difference between being the eight seed and the five seed, 2 games. Memphis had to win that game yesterday if they want to hold on to a top six seed or at least give themselves a chance to. And they were starting a road trip yesterday where I think they're going to play 5 of their last 6 on the road to end the season. And it started in Miami yesterday. Like, that was desperation mode. That was the Memphis Grizzlies throwing everything they have to beat the Miami Heat. And the Heat went toe-to-toe with them. And yeah, you lost. Frustrating, but you lose on a game winner to Ja Morant. You played well enough to win that game. All I'm trying to point out here is that this isn't the Heat team that lost 10 straight, which would have just said, F it, this game's donezo, we'll be back tomorrow. That Heat team yesterday took some punches, responded with some punches. Tyler and Bam stepped up, made plays down the stretch. They look like all-star players. They look like they belong on the same stage as Jaren Jackson Jr. and Ja Morant last night. I'm just saying it's a different Heat team. And you might be looking at a situation where if the Heat can be the 7 or the 8 seed, the Cavs and the Celtics, they'll feel confident. Don't get me wrong. But they might not be saying, oh, we want the Heat. They might be saying, damn, we're getting the Heat again. Might be something worth watching. Let's get to headlines here. We still have our Counting Crows tickets that we have to give away today as well. The final pair. Hopefully Jimmy will remind me about that. Again, take you up until 6 p.m. Hawk might join us at some point. But before we get to Omar Kelly in the next segment, Steven Gonzalez has our headlines.
Headlines brought to you by Doral Hyundai. At Doral Hyundai, choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. Remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai. The Heat, their win streak ends last night. 6-game win streak comes to a close. Ja Morant hit a game winner. They take on the Bucks tomorrow night at 8 p.m.
So what's funny is this was like the toughest stretch. Celtics, Grizzlies, Bucks to end the season. You had 1-5 straight entering that. All right, you got over the Celtics. You were able to beat them. You just get crushed yesterday. Here come the Bucks tomorrow. Bro, any of you guys see what Giannis Antetokounmpo did last night? He put up a stat line. I think it was, let me look it up here. He put up a stat line that has never been put up before in NBA history last night. Just like this historic triple-double where he had 20 assists and he had 17 rebounds as well.
30-plus points as well.
35-point, 20 assists, 17 rebound game has never been done before in the NBA. And so you had to play Ja Morant. First time that Heat had played Ja Morant, by the way, since 2021. And here comes Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's carrying the Bucks on his back because of the Damian Lillard situation. Yeah, good luck. Good luck, Heat.
I don't think Giannis will call Kalel Ware a pigeon after the game. So,
hey, have any of you ever heard that? Has that texted in 305-567-0560? Look, man, I'm lame. I get it. All right, I'm a dweeb. Okay, I'll admit it. I've never heard anybody call somebody a pigeon before. Have either of you ever heard that before? Steven, you're young, man. What are you, like 22, 23 years old?
I think I'm 22. I think it's more like a hockey thing, though. That's where I've heard it, like a nice little chirp from the bench, just chirp it out, like, hey, you pigeon. But I've never heard a basketball player refer to it in that way. Like, I got a pigeon guarding me. I've never heard it used that way.
I think what he was doing there was he's like, yeah, I got a sucker in front of me.
Yeah.
You know, I saw pie.
Yeah.
I've never, ever heard anybody use a term before, pigeon. And, bro, That's just wrong from Ja Morant, because I thought Kalel Ware did a good job. Kalel got put in a bad situation by the Miami Heat. I was going to play some of the audio from the postgame show, because the first question everybody was asked, Steven, you were working the broadcast with me last night. The first question everybody, Spo, first question from Anthony Chang last night after the game was about Kalel Ware getting beat by Ja Morant and if that was the matchup that they wanted. Kalel was asked about it. I loved his answer. He's like, nah, man, that was my matchup. Like, Ja got a lucky shot. But here's what frustrated me. Davion Mitchell just followed the screen setter, who was Santi Aldama last night, could have gone under, could have recovered, and the Heat just left Kalel Ware to his own devices, as Spo said, on an island. And it's just not a good matchup. Like, once any athletic guard has a 7-footer in front of them, with, you know, the game clock counting down with 5 seconds left, it's just not a good situation. I would have loved to have seen the Heat just send two more bodies at him, or Davion could have just gone over the screen. Even when he went under, there was still time to recover. Like, if Santi Aldama beats you in the corner, I mean, damn, then F it. You know, Santi Aldama beats you, he hits a corner three, and you call it a good night, deuces, and, you know, we'll talk to you Saturday. But to just leave Kalel Ware on an island by himself, That to me was just weird. It's almost like the Heat, and I said this on the postgame show last night, the Heat just had a brain fart, man. They had a brain fart on that final defensive possession when Ja hit that shot, and it hit like every part of the rim too. You could tell Davion was pissed, man. He put his jersey above his head. He was pissed off. But then Ja, I don't want to sound like I'm butthurt over the Grizzlies win last night, and I am, obviously. But Ja Morant is like, yeah, the fans were booing me. Well, yeah, of course we're booing you. Of course they're booing you. You're the opposing team's best player. What do you want? The Heat fans to all show up in Memphis Grizzlies jerseys? Ja Morant jerseys? Like, you've never been booed before in a stadium? Get out of here with that nonsense. NBA players will find anything to, like, put a chip on their shoulder. Ja Morant, they're not booing you because they hate you. They're not booing you because of the guns. Like, they're booing you because you're the opposing team's best player and you dropped 27 on their team in the second half, you dummy.
Yeah, let's not act like he didn't get a lucky bounce here. Like, it's not like he tickled twine, like that. Jax would say, but, like, you got a very friendly bounce up there.
Yeah, I love that Kalel Ware said that. He's like, nah, you guard who you guard. You got a lucky shot.
Yeah, you got a lucky shot. It was. That's exactly what it was. But.
Yeah. I'm gonna ask Omar Kelly if he's ever heard anybody be called a pigeon before. Jimmy, how would you feel about that becoming your new nickname? Pigeon.
No, I would not like that. That sounds like a term used like in the 90s. For me, at least.
Does it?
At least for me.
That'll be the first. That'll be the first time that Jimmy has a matching nickname with a guy like Kalel Ware.
Yeah, very true. 305-567-0560. Have you ever heard somebody be called a pigeon before? I truthfully had never heard that. What else you got, Steven?
All right, the Panthers, they got two games this weekend. They take on the Ottawa Senators tomorrow, 2 p.m., and the Detroit Red Wings Sunday at 5:30. I'm sure they can't wait to get out of Canada.
Yeah, man. I said it yesterday. I am a little nervous. Like, let me phrase this properly. I'm nervous about the Panthers come playoff time because, yes, talent-wise, this team is as good as anybody in the NHL. But there's just something about losing this many guys to injury and then hoping everybody comes back how you expect them to come playoff time and just mesh all of a sudden. I don't know. And look, Doug Plagans absolutely just tore me to shreds the other day when I asked him about the Panthers giving up, you know, leads in the third period. He's like, Solana, you don't know what you're talking about. And Doug Plagans knows more hockey than, you know, I'll ever know. So I'm not going to argue with Plagans, but just something feels off about the Cats. I hope I'm wrong, by the way. I hope you can all text in the show and tell me, Solana, you didn't know anything about hockey and the Panthers are fine. They're going to blow past the Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round or whoever they get matched up against. But whatever. Hopefully they still have an opportunity to go out and win the division, or at the very least get second in the division, which I think would give them home ice advantage.
Yeah, it's a tough task to ask everybody to come back in playoff form when they haven't played in months.
Because, like, okay, Tkachuk, great to see him on the ice, but how's he going to look when he comes back? I'm not doubting Tkachuk. I'm just saying, hey, you're hoping Tkachuk comes back and he looks 100%. He hasn't played with Marchand yet. You're hoping Ekblad comes back once he's no longer suspended. He hasn't even been allowed in the facility, and it's just all going to click perfectly. I don't know. Again, I don't know that much about hockey. I'm hoping that it's okay.
We got the Marlins. They start a three-game set in Atlanta tonight. First pitch tonight, 7:15 p.m. Max Meyer on the mound. The Braves 0-7 to start their season.
Yeah, I know you're a big baseball fan. We'll talk a little bit of baseball. I have an article that I want to reference a little bit later on and get your take on it, because for those of you who don't know, Steven's new to QAM and to our show. Huge baseball guy. He's always trying to make me watch baseball, and you know, the Marlins have just taken the life out of me as a baseball fan, even though I love going to games. And this Carl Ravitch said something on ESPN the other day that I want to run by you and test your sanity. So we'll get to that a little bit later on in the show. But the Braves suck right now. They're 0-7. Hopefully the Marlins can continue their early season magic.
Yeah, the Braves, they'd be the first team to ever make the playoffs if they can make it this year off to an 0-7 start. So that's pretty interesting.
They were the favorites, or one of the favorites, right, to win the division?
I still think that they're like second in odds to win the NL East right now. The NCAA tournament, it rolls on tomorrow. UF takes on Auburn at 6 p.m. on CBS, and Duke will take on Houston right after that game on CBS as well.
Yeah, somebody texted in, Solana, you hate the Gators because you couldn't get into the school. You know, maybe. I love, by the way, I went to UF a bunch. I had a ton of friends that went to UF. I mean, listen, well, I'm supposed to be a Gators fan right now because I live in Florida. It's not the way I'm wired, man. It's just not the way I'm wired. I'm an FIU alum, FIU grad. I'm one of these FIU fans that still roots for UM. Canes aren't in the tourney. FIU's not in the tourney. I'm sorry. I'm not wired I'm from the state of Florida, so I'm rooting for a Florida team. Just not wired that way. I'm really not. But my pettiness, my dislike of the Florida Gators has more to do with Channing Crowder on this show, to be fair. I want to troll Crowder as much as possible, and Crowder's just going to pump his chest and beat his chest if the Gators win the national title. And I don't want to deal with the whole summer of him talking about his Gators and pretending like he's been on the bandwagon of the basketball team all season long, when like 3 weeks ago he couldn't even name the head coach of the team. So that's where I lie. And I just don't want Duke to win because everybody has Duke to win the tournament in their bracket. So yeah. I'm rooting for anybody else. Auburn, I think I'm going with Houston. Forget the SEC. Sick of the SEC. I think I'm riding with Houston. Seventh time they've made the NCAA tournament. They've never won it before. So I think I'm riding with Houston.
You were talking about our brackets, but you were the only one that was out like the first couple of games. You had your champion go out.
probably wasn't the smartest move.
Yeah, you've been out of the mix for about a week.
Tobin and Leroy were crushing me for that. And Marcos, here was my strategy. Not that I had any. I had watched zero Gonzaga games all season. Here's my thought process. I looked at the odds of the tournament, and you had the four number one seeds where it was Duke had the highest odds to win, then UF, then I think it was Auburn, then Houston, and then the best odds to win the tournament that wasn't an SEC school and that wasn't a one or a two seed was Gonzaga. So that's what I went with. The highest odds to win the tournament that wasn't an SEC school and that wasn't a one or a two seed. It was Gonzaga. Gonzaga, usually the Zags have a good program. I was just hoping for the upset. I was hoping.
I think you like their
what
logo.
Didn't happen, what didn't happen, which was all four number one seeds end up making the final.
Yeah, I think you like their logo. I'm pretty sure that's why you took them all the way. They do have a pretty cool logo.
They do.
Time for your weather, sponsored by the Mesman and Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7 at 866-954-MORE. 83 degrees outside, 65% humidity, zero chance of rain.
Yeah, people texting in. Somebody says it's used in the hood. Pigeon, all right.
We wouldn't know anything about that.
Somebody else says, Solana, Ja Morant is a dweeb, just like you, bro. Man, I was crushed when he made that shot last night. I'm not going to lie. Because he got the lucky-ass bounce, and then he's just ripping the home fans after the game, too. Just tough, bro.
Made it seem like if Khalil Ware didn't play defense on him. Like, he defended him well. Khalil. If it wasn't for a push-off, he doesn't get that shot off.
He pushes off, but you're not going to call that. And Khalil Ware, I thought, did a good job. But once you get a 7-footer retreating, get him into the restricted area, like, it's night-night at that point. There should have been help. Davion Mitchell, and I'm not blaming Davion. I love that dude, man. I love Davion Mitchell. He's built for this franchise. But you don't go under the screen and just leave Khalil Ware a 7-footer by himself with the game on the line. You just don't do that. You know, it was a lapse in judgment by everybody. And the second he does that, you know, Bam's got to step up. Somebody else has to step up and help mitigate that situation. And the Heat just unfortunately did not. Did you do weather, Steven?
Yes, he did.
Damn, I get pissed when Hawk doesn't listen to me doing weather, and I just did that to you. So my apologies. All right. Hawk and Crowder are off. Hawk might join the show a little bit later. We have a lot to get to. Don't forget, we are giving away those Counting Crows tickets as well. We'll probably do that in the next hour. Lee Sterling is going to join us. We'll talk about the NCAA tournament. I know he wants to do some Dolphins season total in terms of wins or losses as well. Rohan Nadkarni will join us. We'll bounce around the NBA. We'll talk about the Heat and that game last night. But coming up in the next segment, it's been a while since Omar Kelly has joined WQAM from 2 to 6 p.m. I'm looking forward to talking to my guy Omar. That's coming up. We'll talk Calais Campbell. We'll talk Dolphins. We'll talk NFL rule changes. So keep it locked right here, 2 to 6 p.m. You're listening to the Hawkman and Crowder Show.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
I hate everybody on this show.
Hawk and Crowder.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry blend and orange hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Welcome back to the Hawkman and Crowder Show. Hawk and Crowder are off today. Solana here, along with Steven and Jimmy, will take you up until 6 p.m. We're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Check them out, toyotaofhollywood.com. Omar Kelly, he's a columnist covering the Miami Dolphins for the Miami Herald. You hear him arguing with Joe Rose and Hollywood in the mornings, and he joins us now. Omar, I appreciate you taking the time, man. It's been a while since you've been on from 2 to 6.
Always a pleasure, Solana. I enjoy your work. I listen to you calling, giving your analysis after the Heat games. Listened to you last night. Tough loss right there. Tough loss right there. Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out who's the pigeon, though.
I think he was. Have you ever heard? Have you ever heard somebody use that phrase, Omar? Like, I was saying it earlier in the show. I've never heard anybody call somebody a pigeon. He was calling Khalil Ware a pigeon, by the way. He ripped them. He called him a pigeon.
I get it. I understand it. I've never heard it. And, you know, hey, I mean, that's one big pigeon, though. But, hey, to each his own. Yeah, man. He made the shot.
Yeah. I love what Khalil said after. He's like, yeah, lucky shot, you know. And it was. Ja got the lucky-ass bounce, Omar. But, man. He was torching the fans on the way out, like just crushed our hearts last night, man.
Yeah, cost himself a lot of money too.
He did.
Interesting to see if he'll ever stop. I don't get it, but hey, the young people, I don't get half of them half the time anymore.
Yeah, me neither, man. Omar and I have been beefing a little bit over text over Waffle House. I want to get to that, Omar. All right, so we'll visit that at the end of the segment. But Omar, yesterday Hawk and I were kind of going back and forth a little bit, and it's why I wanted to bring you on to talk more about this Calais Campbell situation, because my take was there might be a little more at play here than just Calais taking more money to go back to the Arizona Cardinals. There might be a little something more at play here than Calais wanting to end his career with the team that drafted him. In my opinion, perhaps he just kind of viewed what was happening in the Dolphins locker room and he just didn't want to be a part of it anymore. Maybe I'm wrong. And I did see that, you know, you've written and you've tweeted out that you knew Calais wasn't returning for quite some time here in Miami. So what was your biggest takeaway from the news?
Let's start with the offer, which, you know, I did expect Calais to earn about $5 million this season. The Arizona Cardinals gave him a base salary of $5.5 million and then gave him incentives that could rise up to $7.5 million. He had the same incentives with Miami last year. It moved his $2 million salary to $3 million because that's what he ultimately walked away with based on playing times and sack incentives. I was not surprised that they were not the highest bidders. Miami, in fact, had the third highest offer on the table. And I thought for him to have re-signed here, they needed to have the highest offer on the table. And not just that, but, I'm a big believer in Calais. I think he's going to be this next generation's probably version of Ozzie Newsome, where, I think Calais is destined to be in the front office of an organization. And I'd hoped that this organization knew how special he was and said, hey, we're going to keep you home. I think the Arizona Cardinals are probably the organization that knows how special he is and decided that that's what their plan is for him, that they're going to keep him around. And Arizona's home. Arizona's where his family wants to settle. So props to him. I hope he enjoys his life. But let's not say that the Arizona Cardinals are in a better situation to help him end his career as a champion, because I don't think they are. But I do also think that there was a mad exodus of veteran players from this team. A lot of people look at this situation and say, is this a team that I really want to be a part of if it's not advantageous for them for their career? A lot was placed on Calais' shoulders from a leadership standpoint, and he's okay with that. He has no problem with that. But I think to enter a second season with those kinds of expectations to carry that huge load, and it would be an absolutely huge load from a leadership standpoint, I'm not sure if he was ready and willing to sign up for that.
Yeah, and what does it say now moving forward about the lack of leadership with the Miami Dolphins? Because Omar, say what you want about the roster, and I have my issues with where this team is at right now. Defensive line, especially the lack of not only depth, but who's playing next to Zach Sealer, I don't know. And look, Chris Greer's going to get his draft picks, and it is what it is in that sense. But if Calais Campbell is gone, and you talk about the amount of vets that have left this team, and there was already this incoming issue where Mike McDaniel seems, I don't want to say has lost the locker room, but certainly doesn't have the respect that we all think a head coach should have in the locker room. Okay, where's that coming from now? Who is the veteran leader for the Miami Dolphins moving forward? I don't know.
Oh, that's easy. The veteran leaders of the team are I'll start with Zach Sealer. Yes, you're right. He's right now got really nobody to play with. Zach Sealer, that meme of Will Smith standing in an empty house alone at the end of how, at the end of Fresh Prince. That's Zach Sealer. That's exactly how Zach Sealer feels. Not only that, but he wants his money, by the way. He's one of the most underpaid players in the NFL at $8.5 million in salary. But to answer your question, Jalen Ramsey is viewed as a leader. You got, obviously, Jonnu Smith is viewed as a leader. Tua is viewed as a leader. I'm pretty sure that they're going to have to lean on, and Tyreek Hill, and as he said, don't chuckle, but, Tyreek, I know it ended poorly, but Tyreek really tried to be a good leader last year. It ended poorly. He'd been frustrated all season, hidden that frustration up until the final press conference. And, he didn't even want to do the press conference. But, Tyreek does need to mature. And that's something that hopefully takes place soon. Later. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just I think there's a lot of parallels. And I know you have talked about this with Joe and Hollywood in the morning. I think there are parallels. And Hawk has been pointing to it between Tyreek and Jimmy Butler. But the situation in terms of... Yeah, and I know the Dolphins right now, just money-wise, it would benefit them not to move mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill and wait until next offseason. But, you know, some of the names you mentioned
I don't even know if it's a next offseason situation. One, they're not going to trade Tyreek. And I know people think that that's just posturing or whatever. No, they're not going to trade Tyreek. That's a death sentence. The entire offense is built around him. You know, the teams, he's got such a fear factor. It's not going to be the same if he's not on this team. And Tyreek does have a level of remorse for what he did and what happened. The question is, can he make it right? And also, can he be, as Mike McDaniel called him, sort of the lead car, the pace setter for, you know, how the team works in the offseason? He was when Mike McDaniel initially got there. Then obviously, you know, he got a little bit more, he got a little bit injured, got a little bit more cocky, settled. We had the number one offense, and it was so much fun last year. I think they thought it would be easy to redo again. And I think that that's a major priority for them to all get there, all get working, all develop chemistry. And that would help them be able to sort of regain what they had last season. Mike McDaniel said something this week at the NFL owners meeting that I don't think we put too much credence in. And I think we should really give some thorough evaluation. And I wrote a column about it today in the Miami Herald this weekend. You know, if I'd won two more games, would we be viewed differently, or would we be in this same situation? And I think everybody can look at the situation that they're in and look at how they played last season, look at the circumstances where Tua's out for 6.5 games. If they had, could they have gotten to 10 wins? Absolutely. 10 wins would have got them into the playoffs. They probably would have played Baltimore or Buffalo in the first round of playoffs. And then what would that mean? Because obviously it would have been the same thing. It would have been, you know, you would have gotten your face smacked in by Baltimore or Buffalo. You would have had 10 wins. You would have had another winning season. But would you be any different of a franchise than where you are right now?
Yeah. Read that, by the way. I did read that this morning. I was about to get to it, Omar, because, you know, you title it "Stop Blaming This Dolphins Regime for 25 Years of Mediocrity." And you know, I think there is some truth to that, but I don't know. I mean, overall, how do you feel about this offseason, and how do you feel about the place the Dolphins are in? Because at the end of the day, you know, Greer, while he shouldn't be blamed for 25 years without a playoff victory, and while Mike mm-hmm. McDaniel clearly wasn't here for that long, and Stephen Ross, you write it, has not pinched a penny when trying to put together a winner. At the end of the day, if they don't win a playoff game this year, that's another rebuild that's a complete failure. I mean, are they close? Uh-huh. You just said it right there. They're not close. They weren't closer,
no,
even with two more wins last year, to beating Buffalo, to beating Baltimore, to beating Kansas City. Will they be closer this year? That's the main question.
No.
And I don't know. Right now, there's still a lot of decisions to be made, but I don't feel good about it, man.
You know, here's the thing. The way that they built this team was kind of an irresponsible way, and we mocked it when we were having success. You remember the F them picks, you know,
yeah,
who cares about draft picks approach, and let's go get the players, and, you know, let's pay the players, make them the highest paid players at their position, and we'll figure it out later. Okay, well, it's later now. And you've got no young nucleus, no young core. You know, players leave here because primarily they get broken off elsewhere because you don't have the money to pay them, because you paid everybody that you set up them picks for. And now you have to win. You have to play with that. Well, I'm sorry, but the truth of the matter is there is no foundation here. And unless you build a strong foundation, and I'm not even just talking about the trenches, but that's truly where you have to start. You have to build a strong foundation in order for you to have success. And there is no foundation here. And so if you don't build that foundation, you're going nowhere. So I think that what this draft is about and what this free agency was about was it was a fiscally responsible, if not cheap, approach to building a team. And they've got 10 draft picks. and they're going to use all 10 of them on players who hopefully will become foundational pieces for this organization, good or bad. And let's just hope that they make good selections and make good draft picks. And I think that they're okay at drafting, but you know, are they, can you be trusted when you got a roster full of Cam Smiths and Channing Tindalls and, you know, a ton of guys who didn't pan out for you or you couldn't count on in your draft classes? No. But this is where they are. But what I do like about what they've done this offseason is it's not going to make this a mess for the next group of people who lead or run this organization. And that's what should be viewed as a positive, because the worst thing you want to do is double down on your mistakes. And they could have easily done that this offseason, but they didn't.
Yeah, well, if it doesn't work, we'll be calling Chris Greer a pigeon, man. I don't know what else to tell you. Omar Kelly, read his work at MiamiHerald.com. Omar, before you get out of here, you're very upset because Hawk and I were talking about breakfast the other day. And
the disrespect for the Waffle House.
Choice words about the Waffle House, and you told me there will be no Waffle House slander. I wasn't necessarily slandering Waffle House. I was just saying, like, I'm drunk. I need, you know, some food to sober me up. That's when I go to Waffle House. But I'm not picking Waffle House for my everyday breakfast spot. I think it's drunk food spot.
I'm sorry, but Waffle House, if we're doing a Mount Rushmore of breakfast spots,
Get out of here, Omar.
I'm choosing Waffle House over IHOP, over Denny's. Waffle House is my number one breakfast spot. Only thing is, if you want to go a little ritzy and fancy, you could probably put Cracker Barrel ahead of Waffle House. But I'm sorry. They should really be called Hash Brown House, because the hash browns are just, nobody makes hash browns like Waffle House. I'm a double, if not triple, hash brown kind of guy. Don't eat them smothered or covered in anything. Waffle, and here's the thing about Waffle House. It's not ritzy. It's not fancy. It's just good food. No great service. No great restaurant. You might see a fight break out. But you know what? You don't care, because it's just great food. Think about all the people. You know, there's no accident by the fact that they got a Waffle House right over there by Tootsie's, because everybody's leaving Tootsie's at 3, 4 a.m. and they're ordering themselves some Waffle House, and they just might even take it to go. Everybody loves themselves some Waffle House. Okay.
See that you're proving my point though, Omar. I don't think it's great food. There's a reason why the person cooking your hash browns has a cigarette in their mouth and you just don't care, because it's just food that you're leaving Tootsie's, you're hammered, and you're like, oh, you know what hit the spot right now? Waffle House. Cracker Barrel, you mentioned Cracker Barrel. This was a huge topic on our show. They're not actually selling good food. They're just selling you nostalgia. Everybody went to Cracker Barrel down in South Florida while driving up to Orlando when they were younger. So now they see a Cracker Barrel, makes them think about their youth, and they're like, oh, I love Cracker Barrel. The food sucks. It's bland. Waffle House, the food doesn't suck. I just don't think it's great food. The waffles are fine. The hash browns are elite. Everything else is...
Where are you getting better food? Where are you getting better breakfast food than... Because obviously nobody orders anything else other than breakfast food from Waffle House. Right. Where are you getting better breakfast food in America than Waffle House? Please tell me this establishment.
There's a million places in Miami now, a million places that have better breakfast food. This isn't 1988 where you have to go to three chains.
We're talking about chain establishments. You still have not named me a better breakfast spot than the Waffle House.
Yeah, I think Denny's is better than Waffle House. I really do.
No,
I'm not even trolling. I think Denny's is way better than Waffle House.
Denny's literally has to give their food away. They're like, here, $1.99. Come on, it's yours. Please come have breakfast for it. We have to beg you. Waffle House, you know you got to wait in line. You know you got to stand up and wait for a seat. Come on. Denny's, the minute you walk in Denny's, you can choose one of 30 seats because nobody wants their food. IHOP, come on. Who wants to eat pancakes all day long?
No, I can't do IHOP. I can't do IHOP. I'm with you. I can't do IHOP. Every time I go to IHOP, it just something doesn't sit right with me, man.
No, something they, they, they right. need Not to say the Waffle House image, because I think you could dress up a nice, you could dress up a Waffle House. If I'm Waffle House and I get it, they believe that, you know, this is worked for them. This blueprint has worked for them for 40 years. Why change anything? You know, I would make Waffle House fancy. I would make Waffle House, you know, I'd put a little, yeah, actually they do have music in Waffle House now. Man, you cannot get any breakfast better any place than a Waffle House in America. I'm sorry. Denny's is not even in the competition. Waffle House laughs at Denny's face.
Yeah, the last time I went to Waffle House, there were three people in the parking lot throwing up. They didn't even make it inside. Okay. And
They need a little grease to sober up, yeah.
I sat inside a Waffle House for 17 minutes, and there were two fights. And it was between the employees themselves. That's your typical Waffle House experience. I don't hate it though, Omar. I'm not hating on Waffle House. I just don't think it's great food, is all I'm saying. You know what you're getting when you go there.
You still have not named me a better breakfast establishment though. Hey, all right, that's all I'm saying.
I got it. La Carreta. Boom. There you go. That's my go-to.
Okay.
But you know, I've never tried it.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I don't think about La Carreta for breakfast, but you know, hey, if you want eggs and, you know, eggs and rice, black beans and rice for breakfast, go for it.
Omar Kelly, I love you, man. Thank you for jumping on, and we'll talk soon.
All right, talk to you later.
Yes, sir. All right, Omar Kelly there. He torched me via text a couple days ago when we were talking about Waffle House. And I knew, and text line is hot right now about Waffle House. But yeah, somebody writes in, Waffle House is good for a late night snack. That's my point. Like, these are good drunk food spots. These are great drunk food spots. They have great food. No shot, man. Somebody said Original Pancake House, fire. There's one in Kendall on Sunset that I absolutely love. And then McDonald's breakfast. We got that texted in a bunch right now. And I'm with you. Like, that's the same. But there is something about leaving the club or leaving a party and you find a Waffle House and you just, you know, it's like a sponge, just sobers you right up. There is something special about it. But I appreciate Omar Kelly for jumping on. We'll take a break. More Hockman and Crowder coming up.
You're listening to the Hock and Crowder Show.
This isn't the Oprah Winfrey Show. My feelings don't matter.
Hock and Crowder.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.